Hi, I'm reporter Reeve Hamilton here with Chris Covo, director of America's Next Impact, a project of Americans for Prosperity.
Hello, Reeve.
And Natalie Butler, the University of Texas student body president.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
And we're talking about higher education, which of course has become a big issue in Texas in particular. And Chris, if we could just start with you, your organization has decided to take this on as an issue, and what do you think needs to happen in higher education?
Sure. So America's Next Impact is a young professional development and engagement group started by Americans for Prosperity in Texas. And we have decided to champion higher education as one of the key things that affecting students, not only in Texas, but nationwide. The bottom line is that student debt is about to surpass credit card debt in our nation. We are $14 trillion in debt. The national government, $1 trillion of that is going to be student debt. That's pretty staggering. And for us, that was like a clear call that something needed to be done, that especially in Texas, that we need to do something so that our peers aren't graduating with so much debt that's crippling them in the workforce and crippling the economy. And so for us, the big thing is that taxpaying entities need to be efficient, transparent, and affordable. That's the bottom line. If you think about it, I told you this earlier, Reeve, I was a full grant eligible student. I had everything. I got every single grant, Texas grant, you name it, and I was eligible for every single loan, and I still graduated with $30,000 worth of debt. That's staggering. And then you think about the middle class, the students who are in the middle, their parents make a decent living, but they've got five kids, and they're putting four kids through college, and they're graduating with $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 worth of debt, depending on where they go to school. That's outrageous. And so, you know, I think a lot of people like to politicize this issue. It's not a political issue. And in fact, it should be a very, very nonpartisan issue. The bottom line is that we need to make college affordable again. It's risen like 90%, 100% in the last decade. I'm sure we're going to discuss a lot of the details, but that's our opinion. Everyone's having to tighten their belt. Schools need to tighten their belt, and they don't need to compromise excellence. And when I was student body president, that was a big thing for me. If you're gonna, the university needs to make sure that with whatever they have, they're not cutting where it hurts. They need to cut to make sure the students are still coming out with a product that makes them marketable in the workforce, and they can do that. It's just going to be tough.
Right, Natalie, you're here. You've been involved at the University of Texas. And sort of their response to the controversy, if you will, that sort of cropped up around higher education. Now, is there anything that Chris has said that you disagree with?
Not so far. I agree that there are a lot of issues surrounding higher education and that student debt and the cost of higher education is a huge issue. I have a feeling we might disagree about some of the ways to alleviate that for students. One of the things that I see that we can talk about more is that I really think that the state should be doing more to fund higher education. You know, you look at the University of Texas and our state support has gone down by percentage over the past 30, 40 years. And I think that students are now shouldering that burden. And that's why a lot of our debt is going up. And I think that the state and our state government has a little bit more of a responsibility to higher education institutions across the state. But I agree with you absolutely that student debts, loan debt, and all those things, and you know, a lot of those grants and whatnot that aren't available to students who need them most, like those middle-class families you talked about, I think it's a huge problem. And I think it's something that we need to come together to work on. I agree that higher education shouldn't be partisan, but unfortunately it is. We live in a time right now where almost everything can be made partisan. But I think there are ways to work on it. I agree that it's going to be tough. And I do agree that there are things the university can be doing better. And so, you know, you haven't said anything yet I disagree with completely, but there are a lot of different ways to go about it. And I think that that is, you know, something that we need to have a conversation about at every different institution. And another thing that I think is very critical in all of these conversations is that every institution is different. And every institution needs to be looked at independently and needs to have the autonomy to do the things that it needs to do for itself.
Sure, I think that's a great point. Every institution is different, and they need to make sure, but they also need to understand, however different they are, those issues need to be hashed out with their respective representatives, senators, etc., to make sure they're coming up with the best solution for their campus. But that's their job as public servants at a public entity, to make sure they're coming up with the best solutions for their specific situation. Obviously, UT is going to be a magnificently different situation than Texas State University, mm-hmm. and have many different opinions flying at them. So, yeah, I agree with you in that regard.
Well, Natalie mentioned that a big part of the issues, if it sounds like you're agreeing on goals, one of the big sticking points has been sort of how to go about change. You know, whoever wants to take this first can feel free, but I think you're both of you are in positions where you're trying to affect some sort of change at the university. It might not be the same kind, but what is the best way, or do you think the most effective way, to go about affecting change in higher education, which is sort of notoriously resistant to it?
I really think it needs to sort of be a group and a joint effort between our faculty, administration, and the students on a campus, because we have different needs. Students especially came to university looking for something very specific. Obviously, most of us had different choices to where we wanted to go to school, and we need to be included in the conversation. And that's something, as you know, student body president, that's something I'm always pushing for,
sure.
is to get students more involved in the
yes.
conversation. And so that's a huge thing for me, is allowing
yeah.
students to be a part of it.
Yeah.
But I really think that a lot of those decisions can be made on the campuses themselves. And I think that, you know, I think you're right in this. You characterized it perfectly. We have the same ends, but might disagree on some of the means. We might
sure,
agree on some
sure,
of them as well.
Sure. And I mean, as I was student body president at Texas State University 2 years ago, and with you, students must always be involved in the decision process. They must have give some sort of, I mean, they're the customer. That's the bottom line. Again, you know, it's a full circle thing. The student is the customer, and so they should have a say. They should have some sort of weight in what happens, and you know that as student body president, I mean, you are the representative, and you need to make sure that they're being heard in the dialogue. Now, in regard to the huge reforms of tuition and trying to figure out how to kind of get a grasp on what's happening, UT, there's no way they wouldn't be involved in the decision making, but they are a taxpayer entity, and thus they answer to the people. They answer to everyone who pays taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big struggle, but I don't think it needs to be a big struggle, because if UT does their job in presenting data, getting a student perspective, which is easy. You know that. You can bring it to the table. And then we make sure that everyone, instead of just saying, well, this should happen or that should happen, we come to the table and kind of figure out exactly what actually happened. That's why my big thing, and with our organization, is we're really trying to non-politicize this issue. We really, you know, to some people's dismay, really want to get college Democrats involved. It doesn't matter what you think. This is not I eat steak and go to war, or I like granola and do this. Nor do I think politics should be that way at all anyway. And so for us, you know, I think that what you're saying has total weight, but it needs to be in the vacuum of, in order for us to come to a solid conclusion with the people who have a stake in what UT is doing, and all taxpayer entities do,
mm-hmm.
we need to all come to the table and figure out, okay, what's going on? What is your opinion? How can we make sure the lawmakers come to the best decision and have the best well-informed information to do that? And mm-hmm. that's our argument.
Well, why do you think it has been so contentious and perhaps politicized, if you think it has been?
I think the simple fact is, in politics, you play the scare tactic. If one side can say that, you know, the whole, it was like a Governor Perry versus the world, and all of a sudden you have to paint a picture that, you know, you don't, if some people feel like what he's doing is wrong and completely blah, 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 right? Whatever. You paint the picture to play, you play the game, and that's what's happened. And so now it's developed into this game, political game, scare tactic game, where both sides are sort of trying to placate to, how can I make sure that I paint this the right way, the way I think it is? I still don't think anyone's actually on either side really said, well, this is what's happening, this is what's happening. And that's kind of what we want to do to America's Next Impact, is kind of come out and say, we all believe in the same thing. And if you actually look down and look at the data, and I'm not talking about the UT report, I mean in general, the debt report, we're all going to say, okay, let's do something. And that's why I think you need to take out the politics. I think it's really become a scare tactic way for someone, for them to feel like they're successful in the public policy side of it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say, given that we are a state agency, our budget in many ways is decided by the state, it has to be political. And the conversations are going to become political regardless. And I think that they're, like I said, we're living in such a time where there is such partisanship, and we're especially right now, this legislative session has been tough on everyone. And that has made everything surrounding higher education even more political, because we are having to cut places. We are having to have to find ways to be more efficient.
Sure.
And these things are coming to the table more than they have in the past. Yeah. But I think that there are legitimate differences in different political factions about how exactly higher education and education in general should be handled. I think we can see that looking at this legislative session in general, the disagreements about public education, the disagreements about higher education. You know, I wish I could say they weren't partisan, but I think in a lot of ways they are.
Yeah.
And there is a lot about universities that happen to be partisan, and that is the reality of it. And I, you know, we always are constantly working to overcome it and educate and everything we can do to try and make it not that way, but we're a state agency, and that's the reality of
sure,
it.
Sure, sure. Indeed, that's a good point. My point is, and my hope is, that as students, young professionals, young people who are actually dealing with the burden, we can kind of try and take a step back and say, okay, let's kind of get our voice heard. That's the whole point of America's Next Impact, and try and come a solution and show all these politicos, businessmen, women, all these people that, okay, the students know what's going on. They're educated. They understand what's happening, and they have a good point. Maybe we should kind of step back and listen to them for once.
And the thing that we're trying to show as a student body at the University of Texas in particular is that higher education is a great investment for the state of Texas. When you look at the economic payout of the university, every dollar that the state puts into UT Austin, 18 come back into the Texas economy. I can't think of anything else that is such a good investment for state money. And cuts in higher education and education in general might not have immediate impacts on the state, but I think that you will see them down the road as we have a populace that might feel less educated, less empowered, or a university that isn't able to contribute through research to the economy in the way that it does. We're talking about long-term harm to our economy. It's not a short-term thing. We might not see it for a while, but those are the things that about this conversation, it is very long-term when we have to look ahead and sort of see what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's a statistic I used back in the day. And I think that since I've graduated, Natalie, and since I've really, really tried to kind of come to grips with how this whole dialogue has developed, I've realized that if students are getting out of school with this much debt, yeah, you may be getting $18 more back into the economy, but is that a bubble? I think that's a slippery slope. I think we need to focus on the facts, and the facts are that students are graduating with debt. They're not finding jobs. There's 9.1 unemployment, and we need to tighten our belts now. And it's up to the universities to figure out where they should cut and what they should do to make sure that they are not compromising their excellence, but they are starting to save students money. And then we can go into the whole dialogue about deregulation, and we can talk about that. Deregulation was a mistake. Free market principles don't apply to government entities, to taxpayer entities. We realized that. It was a mistake. and now we need to get a hold on what's going on, and it's very, very serious.
Well, I think one of the key points, and you brought up, is that, you know, you graduated and I'm going to graduate from very different institutions.
Sure.
And I think one of the great things about Texas is that we have such a diversity in the institutions of higher education that
sure.
we have.
Sure, sure.
And back to a point we talked about earlier, they all need to be treated differently. And they need to understand that they are all serving different missions. And so that statistic of the 1 to 18 only applies to the University of Texas and Texas A&M, because they are the universities that are doing research that is contributing back to the economy in such high numbers. They are larger institutions that are heavily based in research. And I think that there is a lot of reform that could be great for higher education in Texas, but the key point is that we are all very different and need to be treated that way.
Well, why do you think for the past few months, a lot of the controversy is largely focused on UT and A&M?
Yeah.
And you know, Chris, maybe, I mean, coming from Texas State, where you were student body president and you served as a regent, would you like to see them more involved in the discussion? Or why do you think it hasn't been focused on institutions like the one you came from and others
right.
in
well,
the state?
Well, we have to understand, schools like Texas State Texas Tech, all the smaller ones. These are schools that are growing rapidly and exponentially. They're going straight up, and they're trying to get into the research game. Right now, Texas State is a completely undergraduate student-centered school that is making waves in the arena of they're going to be a research institution. They're doing this, this, and this to get there. They're doing construction, this, this, and that. It's one of the cheapest schools in the state, yet I graduated $30,000 worth of debt. And they are really much more focused on the undergraduate thing. So I think that in regard to the dialogue that's been set up with the research and UT and A&M, especially with all the regents and all that stuff that happened, we're really on schools like that. Texas State, I said we. I don't go there. Yeah. Texas State, Tech, you name them, the smaller schools that are trying to get their research at a formidable level, they're really under the radar because if you look at the whole thing started with the teacher to research ratios and how many students are getting taught and all that stuff. And I think that just brought to light, I don't know if there's a specific answer. I think it'd be a slippery slope to say, you know, these people should be teaching and these people shouldn't. That's not necessarily true. Research is important, but research should be used to teach students. And what it seems like is that at UT and A&M, some teachers are just doing a lot more research than adding that and putting that into the classroom, which is our thing. We need efficiency, and we need to teach our students, and we need to use that great research, which is important to society, in the classroom.
I agree that research needs to be in the classroom, but I think that research is a huge and fundamental part of an institution like the University of Texas. And it's something that we can't say only needs to be utilized in the classroom. I think one of the most important things that has come up in this discussion is that what's called generally basic research or pure research, or what we can call just inquiry-based research, things that are not going to be immediately commercializable, things that are not necessarily immediately applied to society, but asking great questions of science or the humanities or the social sciences, that kind of research only happens at institutions of higher education. You know, applied research, commercialized research, that's what industry is great at. But they use the basic research that's done on university campuses that is based in pure inquiry to make the advances that they make. And I think that not emphasizing that kind of research could have detrimental long-term effects on society, because that's where we really get the answers that lead us into the future. And on top of that, as far as research in the classroom, that's one of the great things about going to a university like UT, that is, you are surrounded by top graduate students and top faculty that are thoroughly engaged in research, is that I can speak from my personal experience that it does make its way into the classroom. I did an independent research-based thesis for one of a credit that I got on campus, and I worked with a professor, I built my own study, and I, you know, produced a product that was publishable. And I know I'm not the only student that's been able to engage in that kind of thing or to assist professors with inquiry-based research, and it's an incredibly invaluable experience that I know I will take with me beyond my education. And I, you know, from my personal experience, that research does make its way into the classroom. But we can't say that, you know, research is only second to teaching. I really don't think so. I think at a university like UT, I think they're fundamentally intertwined.
Sure, and I actually don't think it's second to teaching. I think it must be done efficiently. And right now, we're not doing it efficiently. What we're doing is hurting students and young professionals have an impact immediately, and they're working their pocketbooks. What we need to figure out is we don't want research. We don't think research is a bad thing. It's essential. It needs to be done right. And right now, we're not doing it right, and it's hurting students. And that's our argument, and that's what's important to us, is that efficient, affordable, and accessible higher education is there, that it offers excellence, and that we're doing it in a way that spurs the economy, doesn't leave our generation in a sinking ship. And that's the bottom line for us. We agree that research is important.
Hell
yes! It's so important. I did a capstone. I did all that stuff, and it was very important in my education. Just like you said, that's an invaluable experience. But we need to do it more efficiently with tax dollars, more efficiently with donor dollars, more efficiently so students aren't taking the burden of these costs that keep rising. And that's our biggest thing.
Well, this might actually get to what might be the crux of the argument. Yeah. Is who decides when research or teaching or anything in the academic world is done right? Is it the taxpayers, the professors, the regents, the governor?
I think it's a obviously I'm always going to, where I am right now in my life, we're always going, in America's Prosperity, we're always going to side on the fence with the taxpayer. But with anything, everyone needs to be involved in the dialogue, and the taxpayer needs to be represented well, and their dollar needs to be used efficiently, and then the university and whoever else is involved need to make sure that, they're doing everything they can to make sure that it is being used efficiently. They're still getting the biggest bang for their buck. Students should be getting the biggest bang for their buck. Right now, we don't think they are. But I think it has to be a commingling. I don't think that one person can say, this is how it should be. Like you said, they're not at the university. But in an effort for there to be an actual solution that everyone can feel as though the taxpayer money is being used efficiently, the student is getting the biggest bang for their buck, and the university is still holding the prestige and the excellence that they expect to give out throughout the country, which is important to Texas, right? It's obviously going to have to be a commingling, but obviously we're always going to side on the taxpayer's fence for sure.
And I think the important thing to think about, and the beauty of basic research, is that it's people asking questions.
Sure.
And how do you know what you're going to discover? How do you know how a piece of research is going to pay off? You're asking a question. You never know with this kind of research where it might lead. And I think that those people who are engaged in it are the ones that know the questions to ask. That's why they're there. And the faculty at a place like UT are absolutely incredible, and they're doing things that are breakthrough. But I think that they need to be trusted as the leaders in their field, which most of them are, to ask the right question and to do the right kind of research. I think there definitely could be ways to get others more engaged in the kinds of research we should be doing. But at the same time, some of the greatest discoveries in the world have been made by those who asked a simple question or discovered something that wasn't related at all to the question that they were asking to begin with. So they need to be given that autonomy to ask those questions of the world and find the answer.
Yeah, I want them to ask the questions. I want them to do it to where it's not hurting my pocketbook. That's the bottom line.
Since we don't have much time left, but yeah. I had a few more questions. I'm going to wrap them up into one super question. But basically, I just want to know, what do you think about the current tenor of the debate, and does that need to change? How much daylight is there, do you guys think, between your positions, or how much room for common ground, and sort of what are the next steps specifically for getting students involved? And or if you do you feel the student voice has been lacking at all?
I think obviously the student voice, and I think we're both going to agree on this, we always think the student voice is lacking a little bit. There's apathy. Students are trying to get through school. They're working. They're struggling. They're studying. They have finals. They have this. They have that. They still want to go party, And so I think for both of us, we want to get the students involved. That's going to be my goal. Students and young professionals specifically involved this summer. I think that the dialogue, there's much more common ground than people like to realize. I think it's been, like I said, I think it's been politicized. I think that if we actually sat down like we did today, I think that we've actually agreed on more than we disagreed. And I think if we try our hardest to unscare tactic this dialogue and bring light to, bottom line is that students are graduating with more debt than they ever have, that student loan debt is about to surpass credit card debt, that students are struggling to find jobs, that we all agree that that's a problem, that we all think research is essential, but we want to make sure for us that it's being used efficiently and being funded for efficiently, not hurting the student's pocketbook. And we don't want to compromise excellence. We just want to make sure that the dollar is, every student's getting the biggest bang for their buck, and that we get a handle, we get a grip on these crazy prices. And that could be facilitated in many ways. We know that. But I think that there's much more common ground than there is otherwise, and that the politicized nature of the debate has led away astray from that.
And I would agree in the sense that I think that the debate got a little bit out of hand for a while, but it needed to be brought to the public's attention, and I think it was. And now I think we can have a slightly more civil conversation about it. And I think it's important to remember with a lot of these things that we might have the same ends, but we completely disagree on the means. And I think that also we have to keep in mind that, especially for a place like the University of Texas, we're competing in a nationwide higher education market. We are not a regional institution. We are a world-renowned research institution. And I think a lot of the things being floated might work really well at institutions like Texas State, but we would be detrimental to the rankings and the excellence of a university like the University of Texas at Austin. And that is what we have to consider, is what are the long-term effects of a lot of the conversations that we're having. In many ways, the university model works. There are things to reform about it. There are things to make more transparent about it. But it's something that's functioned well for a very long time. And we always need to be constantly evolving. And I know that at my institution, we are. But we need to keep in mind, for a school like UT, our excellence is hard-earned, and it's come with over 120 years of work to become a nationally ranked power institution in this country. And it could only take 2 years of some of these reforms that have been tossed around to tear that down. And that, I think, is a lot of the reasons that we are asking, that I'm asking for thoughtful consideration of a lot of these things, for considering these things slowly, not making rash reforms, and not testing a lot of these reforms on my university, because I don't want the value of my degree to be negatively impacted by these things.
Sure.
Because a lot of these ideas being tossed around have not been tested in the realm of high-ranking research institutions. And those are the kinds of things we have to consider, and I think we need to be thoughtful about them moving forward.
Right. We want to be thoughtful, but we in no way want to say this system has worked. We have to challenge the status quo, because look where it's gotten us. Kids are struggling. I'm in $30,000 in debt right now, and I haven't even really started my career. That's pretty frightening, and I can't imagine what it's like for my friends who are in the middle class, the strong middle class. They're screwed. And so we have to ask the tough questions, and it's gonna stink. And it's gonna, like you just said, you don't want to crush what UT's built. I disagree. I don't think UT's excellence or their status will ever crush if we do it right. I think that it's time that we ask the serious questions and figure out how we can fix this problem, or else our children are going to have a really hard time in this country that's supposed to be free. And that's the bottom line.
And I want to ask the tough questions of the state of Texas. Sure. And do we need to be investing more in higher education? It's mandated in our Constitution that we have a university of the first class. And I think that the state in many ways has failed and is continuing to fail further at supporting university and an institution of the first class. And that's where I want to ask the tough questions. And I think fundamentally that might be where you and I disagree.
Sure.
And I respect that. But
sure.
That is where I think the tough sure. questions need to be asked yeah. Are we doing that as a state? And I would say, no, we're not. At an institution like UT, our budget used to be 47% state-funded, and now it's 14%. You know, those are really hard numbers to swallow. And that is where I think we need to be putting a lot of this conversation, is as a state, as a society, how much should we be prioritizing education? And I would say more than we are now.
Yeah. I mean, just real quick, I think right now in our nation, we have some serious realities that we have to struggle with. We're struggling as a nation financially, and we don't have that much money to push around. And so we have to. State doesn't have the money to put more money back into higher education. What we need to do is figure out how to handle the costs and get them down. And then, at that point, start a dialogue on the priorities. But right now, the reality is we don't have the cash. And so we need to figure out how to attack these costs. The costs keep rising, and there's not going to be more money coming, at least not in the foreseeable future. And so we need to figure it out. And so, yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to stop asking any questions.
Okay.
Because we're out of time. But Natalie and Chris, thanks for coming.
Hey, Reeve. Thanks for having me. Natalie, great to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you,
too. Good luck at your orientation.
Thank you very much.
Listeners, thanks for listening.